3:03, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Beautiful day, Friday Eve. What are we at? We're like at 85 degrees and again, low humidity, which means it's really comfortable outside. If you get the chance, just sit outside for a couple of moments and soak it all in. Our good friend Brian Maloney is going to be with us. Well, he joins us every week now on Friday Eve. We talk a little bit about this developing campaign. What is it, 80 days now? And let me tell you something, the cover-up, the spin, boy, oh boy, it gets uglier and uglier and uglier just every single day. There are moments where I just sort of shake my head and I say, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to help? You know what's weird? I feel myself becoming, how do I say it nicely? I don't know if anybody think I'm checking out here. But I'm feeling myself less connected to political stuff. And I am absolutely finding myself far more connected to faith. And I'm not telling you that this election is something we ought not be paying attention to. Of course we have to pay attention to it. And in my personal humble belief, and I am right, we have to do everything possible to secure this nation. We have to do everything possible to save this nation. You have so many people who have simply turned their back on reality, on their own honor or integrity, if in fact they ever had honor or integrity. You have people turning their back on their own faith and getting on board with people who will do terrible damage to the United States of America. Look, I despise Joe Biden. I always have. I think he's just an awful human being with, so far as I can tell, absolutely no redeemable qualities. None. But even I am appalled at the manner in which he was treated by his fellow left-wing wackadoodles inside the Democrat Party. I mean, this was a palace coup. Well, no, I don't want to say I'm disappointed in the members of the legacy news media. Good Lord, I haven't had any confidence in them for as long as I can remember. I guess I had confidence in them before I started in this ridiculous world of radio. No, I'm serious. I'm really serious because I've been doing talk radio for 33 years, a long time to do anything. And certainly before I got involved in this, I probably would have believed the things that I read, that I saw, that I heard coming from the self-proclaimed real reporters and serious journalists. But there did come a point where I realized, good God almighty, you people are full of crap. I may have phrased it slightly differently, but that's the takeaway. And I look at how they are spinning right now on behalf of a woman who won't even talk to them. A candidate who says, you need to vote for me, but I'm not going to talk to the members of the press. And the members of the press are going along with it. Even little Jimmy Acosta, right? You know, the media's wayward son. He's not quite the idiot son like, what's his name, Fredo Biden, but he's not far off. Even he actually, he had some stuff to say. We shared it yesterday. You know what? Why don't we share it again today? Maybe somebody, Mr. Germ, do you have that handy by chance?
You know, Michael, I'm sure this is not going to be the first time you've heard this question, but the Trump campaign is also going after the vice president for not doing enough interviews, for not holding a press conference. Would it kill you guys to have a press conference? Why hasn't she had a press conference?
Listen, the vice president and Governor Walz have been busy crisscrossing this country since the launch of this campaign and adding Governor Walz to the ticket. You saw the ways in which they went to across the battleground states last week, generating rallies of thousands, 10,000 here, 15,000 there. But
Michael, you know, a campaign rally is not a press conference.
It's going to be inclusive.
Do you mind if I cut in? I mean, you know, a campaign rally is not a press conference. Why hasn't she had a press conference? She's the vice president. She can handle the questions. Why not do it?
Oh, we absolutely are going to do it. You hear her take questions as she's out on the stump. And she said last week, we're going to be having a sit-down interview here before the end of the month. What she's going to be focused on and what this campaign is going to be focused on is communicating directly with the voters that are actually going to decide the pathway to 270 electoral votes. That's why she
committed to a press conference this week.
This past week. That's why we're doing a bus tour in Pennsylvania as we head into Chicago. And it's why we'll sit down for an interview before the end of the month to make sure that we can have a deep dive conversation about the vision that Kamala Harris has for where she wants to take this country and the contrast that we're going to have with Donald Trump. We're going to have plenty of opportunities to do that throughout the rest of this month and throughout the rest of the campaign.
I don't want to belabor this, but one interview before the end of the month. I mean, that's not a lot. I mean, can you commit to a press conference before the end of the month?
We will commit to directly engage with the voters that are actually going to decide this election. And that is going to be complete with rallies, with sit-down interviews, with press conferences, with all the digital assets that we have at our disposal. We are running a campaign that is built to communicate with the voters that are actually going to decide the pathway to 270 electoral votes. We are confident in the plan that we have in place, and we're going to execute on that plan.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, they're executing the hell out of that plan. It's the same plan that got Joe Biden elected. No, it really is. This is Kamala Harris hiding in the basement, but this basement has a window so you can see her hiding in the basement. Right? Joe Biden just hid down there, didn't talk to anybody, didn't say anything, because they knew that he was just a delusional degenerate. I mean, right? I mean, no questions about it. And they hid him down the basement. They had the cover, of course. Remember, COVID theater was playing then. And they had all that. Well, we can't have these big rallies because, you know, you have to be, 6 feet apart or was it 5 feet apart? Because it's weird. You know, it was 6 feet here in the United States, but then you had people who were on the metric system and they were 2 meters apart, which approximates 6 feet, but it's not exact. And I thought that this COVID virus was like the smartest virus in the world. Remember? It knew if you were out after midnight, that's when it would attack you. Wouldn't attack you at noon, but at midnight it would. So that's why we had to close everything down. Remember, Governor Northam told us that. And it would know if you were wearing one mask or two masks, right? If you were wearing no masks, well, come on now. But if you were wearing one mask, it might. And two masks, then it was up to 10 masks. And you remember. And so it really was. It was just the smartest virus in the history of viruses. So it would be able to figure out, I would think, were you actually 6 feet or were you slightly less or slightly more? Well, I suppose that the virus was so smart it knew if you were operating on the standard imperial system or the American system or the metric system. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, my point is this. They are doing the same thing with her right now that they did with Biden, and that is not allowing her to speak. The difference is that she is, she's conscious, unlike Joe Biden, who is never more than semi-conscious, so she can get out there, and she looks lifelike, and she can deliver speeches. It's the same freaking speech, for God's sakes. Well, at least she is not burdened by what had been when it wasn't in the future. I don't know, whatever it was. So she can do that, but she's not answering questions. The other day they had, this just absolutely blew my socks off. Her campaign described it as a media scrum. Now, in traditional terms, a media scrum is the phrase used when a politician comes out of a meeting or an event or what have you and is met by a gaggle of reporters, and then the reporters all start asking questions, right? Sometimes they answer, sometimes they don't. Now, technically speaking, the scrum is only occurs when they answer the questions. So they described this event the other day as a media scrum, which would lead you to believe that she was asking, being asked questions to answer. It was 70 seconds long. 70 seconds. That is, if you went to public school with me in Philadelphia, that's 1 minute and 10 seconds. Have you encountered any of these reporter types? They can't even ask a question in 70 seconds. So how exactly was she supposed to be asked a question and then answered a question? I'll tell you what it was. She was standing there. And that's why they, inside of her campaign, decided to describe it as a media scrum. Now, in the past, you would be embarrassed by such garbage, but this is a new day and age where people, unfortunately, believe a lot of crap that isn't true. Fake crowds, fake press, and she's winning. Yeah. It's a good observation, astute observation coming in on my Facebook Messenger. Fake crowds, fake press, and she's winning. Yeah. That's true. It's absolutely true. Every one of the things that was just said there is absolutely, positively true. Fake crowds, fake press, and she's winning. It's I personally think it's disgusting, but, you know, what do I know? Right? I'm just the guy in the afternoon, chats about stuff, tells you about a few things here or there, and that's it. Your friendly old Uncle Jeff, that's all. I've got one of those seminal birthdays coming up. I mentioned that on Facebook, and I had one or two people who did not know the meaning of the word seminal, and thought it was, well, it's not what you thought it was. It just means it's a big birthday, right? I mean, if you think about it in your life, if you're a little kid, when you go from 9 to 10, that's a big birthday, right? You're now in the double digits. That is a seminal event for you. If you are of the Jewish faith, 13 is a seminal event. You have your bar mitzvah or your bat mitzvah. 18 is a seminal event for a lot of people. Now, because you can vote, although you can't drink. And at 18, you're technically considered an adult. You can enter into contracts, stuff like that. 21, probably a big event. But then after that, they're fewer and they're further apart. Maybe you have one at 25, because 25 is kind of like, all right, that's it. You're all grown up, except you can still stay on your parents' health insurance for another year. How nifty is that? I don't think 30 is actually a seminal birthday. I think like when you cross into the 40s, maybe the 50s, that's when they get to these things. But I really am. I've got this thing coming up, and I came home the other night from the Robert Earl Keen concert at the National. Yeah. at the National, and I bought myself a hat down there from the merch table. The road goes on forever. Now, the rest of that is, and the party never ends, but the hat only had the words, the road goes on forever. And when I came home from that concert, I took my boots off, and I tossed that hat into my closet, and it landed. I swear to you, I was not aiming at my my always-packed carry-on bag, but it landed there perfectly, and it showed like a name tag. Anyway, I just looked at that and went, I'm miss being on the road. I used to have so much fun traveling to do, well, it was mostly for the pro wrestling world, but gosh. So I was just looking at that, and I said, you know, I got this big birthday coming up. I started looking at job openings for traveling carnivals. Seriously, I would be good at that. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Some great texts coming in. I want to get to those. The Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Mike in 757 says, hey, Jeff, the Harris campaign apparently does not expect or want the voters to have any questions either. Biden hid in the basement while Harris hides herself right before our very eyes. Frightening indeed. Yeah, it is exactly the same campaign as they ran with Joe Biden, except that she is visible. Believe me when I tell you, she is still hiding. Let me see. Sam says, Jeff, tell Germ to stop whining about a lack of sleep and tighten up. And interestingly, that note addressed to me was answered by somebody else. Wow, that's bizarre, huh? Let me see. 804 says, Jeff, is it true that Kamala Harris's husband is Jewish? Yes. Any follow-up or that's it? Okay, yes. Yes, he is. He is a very secular, nominal sort of Jewish guy, which is unfortunately what we see in America more often than not. 804 says, Jeff, grab mom and go to Vegas for your birthday. I can't grab mom. My mom passed away years ago, but appreciate the enthusiasm. What else? Wait a minute. I think he means Heidi, right? I don't do that. I never understood that. Where a husband, like a guy, would refer to his wife as mom? Ooh, that freaks me out. No, I refer to my mom as mom. And when I've got my kid, you know, the kids in rotation, right? We're talking about stuff, but, you know, I'll say your mom. Sometimes I guess I'll say mom, but I would never address Heidi as mom. No, ooh, but I get what you're saying. Today is actually our anniversary. Heidi and mine, we've been married now for, do the math, carry the one. 7 years is for a 25 years today we have been married. And I have to make an observation. You know, they've never come back to have us renew our marriage license. Doesn't that seem odd? Like, your driver's license, you have to go in and renew every 4 years and prove that it's still something that you should have. And man, we've never gotten a renewal notice or anything on that marriage license. 25 years. I'm thinking they should really follow up on stuff like that, you know. Jeff, today is also the third anniversary of the cowardly, incompetent withdrawal from Afghanistan. How many people were left behind by Joe? Yeah, well, Joe Biden is a slug, and Kamala Harris is, well, Kamala, she did it too, right? The Taliban in Afghanistan just had this huge celebration, billions of dollars worth of military equipment that these idiots left behind because they're such cowards and gutless weasels. But, you know, other than that, I guess everything's fine. Everything's fine. Just don't worry about it. It'll all be just dandy as we head through the day. All right, we've got our buddy Brian Maloney coming up in a couple of moments. Really looking forward to chatting with him. We are seeing such manipulation, and such cowardice being exhibited by the Kamala Harris campaign. And I don't know that we're ever going to see them call it out. I mean, there is good news. Hellman's is launching a cologne that smells exactly like mayonnaise. Right. I will wait for Duke's to come out with something similar. But nonetheless, there's hope for all of us. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., my buddy John Reed is here. I am hoping that he will be running for lieutenant governor. That's my hope. I don't know that it will come true, but I hope it does. And his program is right here tomorrow, starting at 6. Brian Maloney joining us at 3:33. It is 3:27. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:34, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. Beautiful weather. Oh, my gosh. You know, Matt Dinard is telling us that the humidity is coming back at some point. It's not here, which is the really, really good news. It's warm, but it's comfortable. So I'm telling you, if you get the chance, get out there and enjoy it. And a lot of stuff that we are continuing to deal with today, and that includes the sightings of Kamala Harris. When I tell you they are running exactly the same campaign as they did with Joe Biden, you're laughing. Well, no, she's not hiding in the basement. Might as well be. She's not talking to anybody that could ask her anything. She's repeating the same delusional, deranged speech. And just for... Well, I don't know, extra points, I suppose. She's now saying that if she is elected, and you know, somebody should remind her that she actually has been elected. She's actually in office as we speak. But she is getting ready to announce price controls on food. Now, if you think that sounds crazy, that's because you probably live in that dreaded free market. The old Soviet Union, however, used to have price controls on food, and that's why millions of people starved. Kamala Harris has gone full Kremlin, which doesn't actually shock me because I know what a radical socialist she is. might be news to some because the people who claim to report the news, you know, they're not actually reporting the news. Brian Maloney, however, has blown the lid off of this and just about anything else you can imagine through the years. He is absolutely brilliant in his assessment and analysis of political campaigns. He's been involved in organizing and managing things like this, and just to boot, is one hell of a talk show guy. I'm telling you, one of the best talk radio people I have ever heard, and I don't even like talk radio, and I used to listen to Brian. Brian, I appreciate you being here, man.
You don't like talk radio. Oh, wow. That's like you're making chocolate and you work in the chocolate factory, but, you know, okay, all right.
Right, you're a vanilla guy. No, I'm going home with anything but chocolate. Well, let me tell you, it's good to hear your voice. It's great to hear you laughing. And now I just want to know, my sense of this, Brian, is that they really are running the same campaign for Kamala Harris, except that she's visible instead of physically hiding in the basement now.
Well, it's devoid of issues, and now we know why, because when she does bring up an issue, as you mentioned, what is the issue? Price controls on food items, which I'm sure goes over well on the college campuses, but it will turn us into Venezuela or Cuba, as you mentioned, or the Soviet Union, where shelves will be empty. And, you know, I'm sure the college kids aren't going to accept that or won't realize it, but within a few months, 6 months, that's where we'll be here. So, I mean, this is why they don't want her articulating policy points, because she is a far-left Marxist, and this is where the Republicans, I think, are really lacking. They need to be pounding her on that fact. And Tim Walz is also a Marxist. I mean, they are avowed Marxists. This is no exaggeration. This is what they are. This is a Marxist, communist revolution in the guise of, oh, look at these two moderate Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are, not surprisingly, spot on, and you are also, I think, spot on as you talk about Republicans. We win on issues. We win on policies, and call me nuts, I'm not seeing it, I'm not hearing it from my own fellow Republicans.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about last week trying to get, and by the way, every show that I'm on, the first thing the host brings up is, you know, like, when are we going to get Trump focused on the issues again? And he's starting to nudge that way a little, but Peter Navarro wrote a great op-ed piece a couple days ago outlining exactly how Trump should get back on track. And it's absolutely, I think it was the Washington Times, absolutely worth hunting down and reading. But the point being here is there's no time, and he needs to be screaming about, you know, no tax on Social Security, no tax on tips, and really hammering home this stuff with a focus. And we're not seeing that, and we need that. So, you know, that's, but I, you know, some people say, yeah, but it's not that easy to tell Trump what to do.
Well, I'm sure it's not easy, but I also believe that what President Trump wants to do more than just about anything at this point is win and get back to the White House, and all of the right reasons, I think, lead to that. And if you're not tough enough in that post to say, look, Mr. President, instead of complaining that Kamala Harris stole your idea, which is what we heard, what was reported, right? I mean, that's what the coverage was. Just go out there. And as Brian Maloney said on the Jeff Katz show, you got to pound her on these issues. You got to pound and do it over and over again. Come on. He's a lot of things. Stupid ain't one of them, Brian.
Well, what concerns me is that she may continue to steal his ideas, and many voters won't realize that they came from him first because he's not articulating them. Yep. And then if she's out there articulating them, then they'll think that she came up with them. And the media isn't going to correct that, of course,
That's right.
Because you know they're going to go along with whatever gets Kamala and Tim, you know, Tim, I won't even say what we call him, but, you know, in the White House. So that's it. But the point you made at the beginning, which is so critical, is this effort to cleanse Kamala Harris of incumbency.
Right.
So to pretend that she is not the sitting vice president, and by the way, she may very well be the acting president for all we know it, and maybe not in a legal sense, but in a de facto sense.
Yeah.
And But to cleanse her of that and pretend she's some sort of outsider that's going to come in and shake things up and change things, and every once in a while someone notices, hey, wait a second, you're the sitting vice president. You could make these things happen now, and you could have made them happen 3 years ago. So what have you been doing?
Yeah, I have to give credit. It pains me to do this, but I will give credit to the Kamala Harris, Joe Biden team over there. When it was convenient during the last 3.5 years, they pointed out that these two were a team, man. They worked hand in glove. Yeah. And nobody made a decision without the other one. And now all of a sudden, you know, like now we're being led to believe that Kamala Harris couldn't find the White House with Google Maps.
Well, it's a gaslighting effort, and it's incredibly well choreographed, and you know, it was put together almost overnight. The media goes along with it because they just take their talking points right from the Democrat Party. Yep. And so, I mean, it's almost extraordinary how quickly they implemented this. And, you know, I mean, if it were the Republicans in this situation, I mean, we Republicans would not be able to do any of this, trust me, because, yep, you know, we don't have the media, we don't control anything, and we're never really very organized. And, you know, so there wouldn't be any of this, but they have precision behind this, and they've been able to fool at least some people into their alternate version of reality in a fake kind of candidacy for Kamala. It's a completely fake candidacy.
It's a little bit like the old Bizarro world in the Superman campaign, in the Superman comic books, right? It looks exactly like Planet Earth, but everything is upside down and inside out, and nobody's calling them out on this. So here's my question, and I don't want to sound desperate, but I would like to save this country. I really would. I really feel that I have an obligation to my children to do every damn thing that I can to save America. I think the only avenue we have is returning President Trump to the White House. What can we do, Brian? What should we be doing?
Trump needs to ask his supporters to get out there and hit the streets for him, number one. But number two, I think we need to rise up and get angry, because we are about to have our country completely stolen from us, what's left of it, what they didn't steal already. And I think that we need vigilance and activism and people getting a little angry and just stop taking it all the time, because all we do is take one punch after another, get out there, talk to people, say, look, you know, we're months away from a Marxist, outright Marxist takeover of America. You know, what are we doing here? Are we, and I'm also helping the Senate candidates, including in Virginia.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and all other states too. You know, I talked about with you Ohio, and you know, we've got all these races to win, these Senate races. And by the way, we need to win those in case Kamala does steal the presidential election and we can stop her in the Senate. So we've got to work on these things. So state, local level, U.S. Senate campaign in your own state, those are ways to do it.
Yeah. Let me ask you there, Brian, because you just alluded to this, and I do want to remind everybody, Brian Maloney joining us. He joins us every week now. Nobody better than Brian at analyzing and really calling it out as he sees it. But you mentioned if Kamala steals this election, how about those people who are on our side of things going, of course, I want President Trump to win, but they are firmly convinced that, you know, the books have already been cooked. It doesn't matter what they do.
Well, and that's the thing. We've got to have 100% turnout anyway, because they will have 110% turnout on their side.
Yeah.
And so we've got to make sure everyone votes anyway, and don't let them discourage you and say, forget it, I'm not going to vote, because that's what they want you to do. Yeah. So make it harder for them to steal it by voting, and that's what it boils down to. And, you know, they can't steal every place. You know, they steal Atlanta and they steal Philadelphia and, you know, Chicago and whatever else, Detroit or whatever. They steal those places, but they're not stealing every corner. And there are always local and state and federal races where, you know, that are winnable. And those, all of those things help to push back against this, all of it, even at the local level.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a great point, Brian. The idea that we've got to make sure that our local members of the House and our U.S. senators are, in fact, elected. God forbid they are able somehow to pull out a Kamala Harris victory or pseudo victory or imagine whatever it is. We've got to be able to have some sort of a stopgap in place in the House, in the Senate, because if, in fact, they get control of both of those houses and the White House, forget about it. We're done. You might as well, my opinion, you might as well start eating butter by the pound. Take up smoking at that point.
Absolutely. I think there's an absolutely winnable U.S. Senate race in Virginia. I really do. Why not push hard? Why, you know, don't give up on these things months before the election. These are winnable races.
That's exactly right. Now, I want people to be following you, and I know Facebook as well as X. I shared this last week. I actually prefer the Facebook presence, but that's just me. I think they're both great, but there's something about what you are doing on Facebook that, well, let's just say I find it very, very informative and entertaining.
Oh, well, great. I appreciate that. So it's Facebook.com/Media Equalizer. Facebook.com/Media Equalizer, one word. Yep. And I'd love to continue to connect with your listeners like I've been doing each week with these segments, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
Now, you also need to get, I'm lecturing you now, my friend, you need some Media Equalizer merch. That's the next step.
No, well, you're the king of the swag. You have all the swag, you know.
Do you want me to get my guys on it for you? We'll get you some shirts.
Maybe.
All right, so we are looking for Media Equalizer on Facebook. That's really the best way to get you, right?
Yes.
Okay. Brian, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you making time for us every week. You're doing great work. You've always done great work. You continue to do it, and I remain humbled and appreciated and appreciative of you for everything that you're doing.
Thanks.
All right, that is Brian Maloney. I don't want him to, you know, go away without a nice word. He's a good guy, Brian Maloney. I'm just telling you right now. I've been. Somebody that I have known, that I've interacted with, called a friend for many, 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 many years. And if you are on Facebook right now, please look for Media Equalizer. I just think that's a great space. Now, he is over on X. It's S Scalpings. And there's a long story on that. And every time I think, boy, Brian's got to explain it, and then we never have time. But Facebook, great way to check out Brian Maloney. Look for Media Equalizer. You will get the unvarnished truth, which is exactly what you need. Coming up at 5:33, another good friend, Dr. Keith Ablow, is going to be here. We've got a lot of things that are kind of in the mix today. It's really it's just one of those days, I guess. We've got my wedding anniversary. Oh, that wasn't on your calendar. All right, well, it was all mine. And I went and I got a card. And I didn't get roses. I got one preserved rose. And I thought that was a lovely thing. And it was there and it was cheaper. And you know you've been married 25 years when instead of driving around looking for the dozen roses, being willing to spend, you know, $100 on roses, you get the preserved rose, which is much less money. And then you can use coupons and CVS extra bucks and your bride actually appreciates that. That's how you know you have been married a long flipping time. It's Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:54, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Yes, almost caught off guard there, but not completely. Well, as a broadcast professional, I'm able to recover, you know. A note coming in here. Yes, I mentioned that Heidi and I today are observing our 25th wedding anniversary. It is a long time. Think about it. It is a long time. But some very nice texts coming in. Chronic Care of Richmond text line 833-804-1140. But one note here says, Jeff, Are you allowed to use coupons on your anniversary? Yeah, but you have to get past the breaking in phase. You know, when you're breaking in that marriage, that like the first decade or so, no, you can't use coupons on an anniversary. Well, not if you're a guy. I'm pretty sure the women are able to do that at any point. But no, not if you're a guy. However. When you get to year 25, The very fact that you can still add and count and you know what year it is, yeah, then you completely can use coupons. So Heidi was probably more thrilled that I saved. I'm going to go pull out my CVS slip, but I think I saved 45% or something off the full cost of everything. So that's a big victory. And yes, I am very, very proud of that. Michael says, hey, Jeff, you and Heidi have a right to be proud of your 25th wedding anniversary. Your blessed partnership has produced a wonderful family, adoring both good times and the bad. Congratulations, Michael. Thank you. Thank you. When they say in sickness and in health, for good times and for bad times and all the rest of that, yeah. Shalom, Jeff. Happy anniversary to you and Heidi. God bless. G. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 3D says, Jeff, you and John Reed need to constantly cover the 20 points of Republican policy goals. Okay. Yeah. Let me get right on that for you. Sure. You bet. Listen, I'm not running for president. Okay. I'm trying to save this freaking country because I've got kids, but I'm not running for president. I'm not running for Senate. I'm not running for Congress. Period. End of story. I will tell you everything that I am aware of. But, you know, in our circle here, we get a lot of people that are lazy, that are not doing their part. I'm just telling you flat out. I'm calling you out on this. You better stand up and do some hard work. You want to save the country, don't sit back. And there are not enough Trumps in the world. There's one Donald John Trump, and I know there are a bunch of family members, but he's the guy. And he can't be everywhere, and he can't educate everybody. I swear to you, I'm doing my part. I know that my friend John Reed in the morning is doing his part. Are you doing your part? I don't know. But I get the sense there are plenty of people who are not. And that's a little disappointing. It is 3:58. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.